What's up, Mets fans? This is Fun Times in Flushing. I am Michael Smith, and I am here to talk about Game 3 of the 2022 Wild Card Series. You may notice that I didn't say a positive podcast about the New York Mets when introducing the show. That is because I don't have it in me tonight. I'm going to speak from the hip here. I didn't write anything down. I don't have the stats, the bot score, anything in front of me. I'm just going to talk about my experience with this game, and we'll get more into specifics later in the week when I have the time to fully digest it and do a post-mortem on this season. But man, did tonight hurt. Worse than other nights have hurt. Worse than 2007, worse than 2008. Just brutal. And I don't even know where to begin. I guess we'll start with the second inning with Chris Bassitt. And it became a little bit of a thing. It's hard to call it a theme, but basically happened twice in his two times through the order. He couldn't throw strikes to the bottom of the order. He could get Profar, Soto, Machado, and Bell. It was the guys after that that gave him trouble. Austin Nola having the deciding blow in this series. Nobody had that. Bassitt could not throw strikes to Trent Grisham. Loaded the bases for Nola. He got Nola to two strikes. He could not put him away. And Nola just got a pass Francisco Lindor. Two-run single. Padres never looked back. And a big part of that is the Mets offense. One hit. The great Sarah Lines, who unfortunately we've been talking a little bit too much about recently, she said on Twitter that this is the first time in the history of Major League Baseball in the postseason that a team has been one hit in a winner-take-all game. First time ever. Now, I do want to give the offense a touch of credit. They hit some balls hard tonight. Not that they didn't make good contact, they just kept hitting them right at people. Will Myers was like a friggin' magnet over at first base. Couple times he had balls just absolutely smoked right at him. But, you know, this is the issue. And I don't think that... And a lot of times this team got away from their approach, working counts. You know, trying to make things happen in that way. And I think Friday night was a good example where they weren't patient and they needed to shift their approach to more of what it was on Saturday. And I think that approach got to them a lot in losses, but I don't think that was the problem in game three. I think the problem was when that is your approach, when you want to be patient, when you want to work long counts, if the pitcher just throws strikes, that doesn't really work. Joe Musgrove, or whatever the hell was making his ear so shiny, was fantastic. And I don't know what all that was, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whatever was going on there. But he was really good. And if a guy is just going to pitch like that, and your pitching staff is going to give up six runs, you have absolutely no shot. But it does point to one of the Mets' biggest problems, and that is power. Yes, they have Pete Alonso, and he had 40 home runs. It's great. It's one guy. I know Lindor had 26 or whatever, but this team had trouble finding big home runs when they needed them, especially late in the year. When the Braves were running rampant, hitting home runs off them last weekend, the Mets just didn't have them. There were a couple of times in the middle innings of this game where, you know, whether it was when Pete got on with the only hit or when Starling Marte was the only other base runner via a walk, one swing makes it a 4-2 game. And, like, yeah, a four-run rally would have been great, obviously, like the one they had in game two. But just a two-run homer puts the game on its ear. You're still down two runs, but you feel like you're in it in a way that they just never felt like they were in this game. And it's so frustrating. Like, I don't know. In 2006, after Carlos Beltran struck out the next day, I went to school in a Mets jersey. Same thing in 2007. Same thing in 2008. 2015, I was no longer in school. I was working. Day after game 5, I wore my Matt Harvey shirt to work. I am always, always proud to be a fan of the New York Mets. I love them. I love this team. That pride's escaping me a little bit at this very moment. I'm not wearing a Mets shirt tomorrow. I'm not wearing it on Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't know when I'll be comfortable wearing one again. This team hurt me in a way that those teams never did. Despite how miserable their collapses were. 101 wins. 102 if you count game 2. Their 6 most important games of the season. Last weekend in Atlanta and this weekend in the wild card. They managed to get all 6 games started by either Jacob deGrom, Matt Scherzer, or Chris Bassett. All they had to do was go 2-4 in those 6 games. And they're on a plane to LA. They couldn't do it. 1-5. Absolutely disgraceful. I have no words to describe this season other than failure. They didn't need to win a World Series for this season to be a success. They needed to play deeper into October. October 9th is not deep into October. 101 wins and 2 losses later, you're on your way home. Failure. It's a failure. They failed. And I saw some of their quotes from after the game. They were striking, I think, a proper tone. Lindor looked very emotional, like he had tears in his eyes, that they came up empty. And there's a part of that that makes you feel good, seeing they care. At the same time, I really don't care. Did they feel bad? I feel bad. They made this a layup by playing so well from opening day to the first or second week of September. They withstood the sweep from the Cubs. They withstood not playing their best baseball at the end of the season. One game in Atlanta and everything changes and they couldn't do it. 3 games at home with Scherzer, DeGrom, Bassett on the mound. Just got to win 2 of them and they couldn't do it. The 2 games they lost to San Diego, they weren't even competitive. They weren't even competitive. So now they go home. And I don't want to talk about it now. Like I said, I'll be back a couple days, probably Wednesday, with my next episode, and I'll talk about what things looked like moving forward. But I'll just tell you right now, a lot of guys are free agents and a lot of guys aren't going to be back. And, you know, you look out at center field and, you know, we all love Brandon Nimmo, but if they replace number 9 with number 99, I think we'll all be okay. What about 48? What about 39? I hesitate to say what about 40. He had a good year, but man, he left a better taste in my mouth. You know, the point just is, somebody has to be in a Mets uniform next year, whether it's Jacob deGrom or Aaron Judge. One of them has to be a Mets. So either way, you're going to pay up for one of those 2 guys. How are you filling out the rest of your roster? There's going to be a lot of questions to be asked about this in the coming months, and it's gonna be interesting. That's all I got in me tonight. I'm tired. I'm sad. These Mets, huh? And you look at the bracket, and it's just, especially the National League side. Well, I could root for the Braves. No, the Phillies. Oh no. The Padres, no. That really just leaves the Dodgers, which doesn't thrill me, but I guess they're the lesser of the four evils. Then you look at the American League side, and it's the Yankees, no. The Astros, no. And then you got the Guardians and the Mariners, and you know, they're very popular teams amongst baseball fans this year. But I gotta tell you, I have no desire to watch the Guardians do well. I do not need, you know, all the failures of this team to be compounded by... Did Cleveland win the Francisco Lindor trade? No, they didn't. It can work out for them, and Andrés Giménez can become an all-star for them like he has this year. And that truly makes me very happy. I liked Andrés Giménez a lot the 1 year he was here. I just don't need the failures of this team to be followed up with people trying to sound smarter than they really are and tell me that it was all a mistake. And Francisco Lindor and his 27 homers and 108 RBIs this year, you know, was a mistake, because it wasn't. And then you looked at Seattle, and there's lots of light about Seattle, right? But there's also a lot to just kind of hate, and it's really just Paul Sewald. But, you know, that guy was here and he sucked and he was never good. He just acted like such a victim when they came here for that series earlier in the year. And I know it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Definitely rubbed me the wrong way. So yeah, 8 teams stand in the 2022 Major League Baseball playoffs. None of them are the New York Mets. And none of them are very appealing options. So great. Thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter at MSmithFIF. I mentioned Sarah Lines again, so I will again put the link to Project ALS in the description of this episode. I'll also link to the GoFundMe that a Cleveland Guardians reporter and good friend of Sarah Lines, Mandy Bell, started. So if you have anything to give, please do. It's a worthwhile cause, and it might make you feel better on this awful, awful, awful night. There's no Let's Go Mets. There's no, just know that I appreciate you. I thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you very soon.